talks so much energy. I call her Energizer Bunny. Extend grace to her. Yes, it can be a bit much, but extend grace to her. Hallelujah. It's just an amazing family, you know. Everybody comes, you know, brothers, they came with his energy and the passion for what they've been doing. And I thank God for the life of Bradozie and his team. Let's give a hand again to our IT ministry. They do so much. They do so much behind the scenes, and they keep us current and updated. Thank God for them. Thank God for our special needs ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for them. Thank God for everyone who serves in that ministry. Our Potter's House, our youth teachers, God bless you. Last week Sunday, I was talking to one of the young ladies just having a general life chat, and she was, I could tell she was a little overwhelmed. She's like, Pastor B, are you still available? Because I've had a long day. I said, what happened? She said, I was in special needs ministry today, and, you know, it was pretty rough. And I remember, even with Potter's House sometimes when the teachers are done, I mean, they do it with joy and grace, but it takes a lot. It takes a lot of power, anointing, that once people are done, they just want to walk out, to go home. So the work is enormous. We need more people. If that presentation touched you somewhere, or you are just still sitting and you're saying, you know, I don't know what to do in this church, please be a part of our special needs children's ministry. There's a need there. And that's one of the best places to be, because we are nurturing young lives. You are raising the future generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is looking for laborers. The harvest is plenty. The laborers are few. Amen. Amen. I just want to take a moment to pray for, well, during the course of the week, I had no idea there would be a presentation for special needs. But the Lord laid it on my heart to pray for families who are raising children with special needs, special abilities, caregivers, two categories, the parents, and secondly, those who, either you in church or outside, you find yourself as a behavioral health specialist, you know, you work in that field. As a church family, I want us to pray for them. It is not easy. It is not easy. If you are paying attention, April is Autism Awareness Month. So it just dropped in my spirit during the course of the week to do that. And lo and behold, there was a presentation. So can we bow? You know, if you're a family, and you know, we don't know some of them. They come to church, they are smiling, they are moving forward, but it's extra work. God is giving them the grace. It's extra work. So this morning, I believe the Father wants to release extra grace. So if you're a parent here, if you're a father, a mother, and you have a child with special needs, can you rise where you are? Can you rise up? Can you rise up? Hallelujah. Can we clap for them? Can we clap for them? These ones are angels. These ones are special. Their assignment is great. It's great. They did not ask for this. It's like a detour in their life, but they are pushing through because they know God is faithful and every gift from Him is good. So can we bow our heads and pray? Let's pray from Psalm 46, verse 1. It says, God is our refuge, our ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be moved, and though the mountains carried into the midst of the sea. Some days are fine. Some days are like the earth is being moved in the lives of this one. So I want us to pray that God will be their refuge and strength. That God will uphold them. He will give them wisdom. He will give them grace in the name of Jesus. You will not be weary in the name of Jesus. The Lord will release grace. The Lord release grace unto you. The Lord release special grace unto you. The Lord says thank you. The Lord says thank you for trusting, for moving forward in faith. And today the Lord says, I am with you. I am with you. Each stage is different. Each phase is different. But as you go through each stage with this special gift, I will be with you. So Father, we release them. every mother, every father here this morning. They chose to come to church in spite of the extra time, extra strategy and planning that it will take. Thank you, Lord, for their lives. Lord, we know that you are doing something great in their life, in the life of their children. We know you are still the miracle worker. We know you make all things. We have hope. We have hope. Give them a fresh hope for this season. Give them a fresh hope for this season. Give them a fresh grace, Lord. Let them shine your light. When they see other people who are depressed, who think of giving up on their children, they will be that voice of hope. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. 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 And to all those who teach, who serve, the Lord give you grace. The Lord give you wisdom. You are ministers of God. You are ministers of God, so continue in that assignment that God has given to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, Pastor Jide is not here. Pastor is in South Jersey. Hallelujah. He's visiting the church in South Jersey, so that's where he is. All right. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God is good. We serve a faithful God. We serve a faithful God. And as we sang during the offering, the devil is a liar. Let that sink in. I don't know what you've been hearing. I don't know what the enemy has been saying, the picture has been bringing to your mind. But as we sang that, as the worship team sang that song, it really struck, it just resonated that the devil is a liar. It can sound so loud, it can be so imposing, but he is a liar. He is a liar. He is a liar. God wants you to know that his promises over your life will come to pass in the name of Jesus. Where he's taking you, you will not fall, you will not fail in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love what Jesus told us in John 10:10. He says, the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come to give you life in abundance. And these are one of the scriptures that we need to speak over ourselves to just realign our mind that no matter what I'm going through, God has given me life in abundance. The devil is a liar. He comes to steal, but even though he may steal some moment, a situation, God will restore. God will restore. Amen. Amen. I just believe the Father wants to encourage us as he's moving us forward in this season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, breathe upon this word. Breathe upon this word. You told us in John 6 that it's the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words, the rhema, the words you speak to us, they are spirit and they are life. As your word comes this morning, let it quicken us. Let it reach into our soul, into our core, into our spirit. Let it shift our mind to see ourselves the way you see us and to see the path you are charting for us in this season. Let your word give life to our mortal body. In the name of Jesus, let it go to the core, to the foundation. Let it awaken us so that we can rise up and go forward. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today's message is titled Detour to Destiny. Detour to Destiny. We all know what a detour sign looks like. If you don't know, it looks like the color of my dress. So, a detour sign with a black print, I know we don't like. I mean, if you're a driver, you don't like to. Detours, no, it's not always pleasant. Like, why? I'm already almost running late and now I have to deal with a detour. But detour does, we do experience it as we drive and even as we go through life. The text will be taken from 1 Samuel chapter 9. That's the text for today. And by God's grace, we will read through the whole chapter because that's really the meat of the matter. So detour to destiny. What is a detour? How many of you have ever experienced a detour driving? Yeah. What was your reaction? I just hope you didn't say anything negative from your mouth. Yeah, it happened to me this morning. I said, God, you must be joking. Is it because I'm talking about Dito? I already had enough drama this morning. Pastor is not. I was driving alone of all days. My tire got punctured. I had to stop at two places to put some hair. Then I got on the last leg of my journey, and it says there's an accident ahead. You know, take another path. I was like, wow. But God just gave me grace. I was just at peace. I was just at peace. I made it to church. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it was just so hilarious. Like, why on a day that I want to talk about Dito that I experienced one? So the thing about Dito is we don't really like it because it costs extra time, extra effort. But on some of my driving exploits, I've discovered wonderful things while going on Dito. I've discovered beautiful places in New Jersey that I would never have known if not because of a Dito. Sometimes our life takes us on a Dito. There's delay. There's disappointment. But we serve a God that can take our Dito and use it to bring us to our destiny. The God that we serve can use things that look like detour in our lives, like a roadblock. You've done everything, you've dotted your I's, crossed your T's, you've done everything on the books, and there's a roadblock. When we take those situations, those moments to God and inquire of Him, He is faithful. He is faithful to create a path. Sometimes it's taking us on a detour because there's something more beautiful that He wants us to see. There's something greater that He wants us to encounter. Today I'll be speaking to two categories of people. People that God is taking on a detour and people that God wants to help, destiny helpers. A lot of times we are in those categories. There are many destiny helpers sitting here today. God needs you to arise. Because someone is on a detour and the journey is getting long and they feel like giving up. You text them, are you coming to church? They said no. You text them, are you joining the prayer, 7 hours of prayer? They said no. I just don't feel like, they cannot articulate. And God is nudging you because He brings them to your mind because you are their destiny helper. And as you do that, God will reward you. Because the enemy is looking to sift people out. He's a liar. He's telling them that what they are dealing with today, that's it. But with God, there is more. So, I don't know where you may be, but there are people that God, we are on a journey. And there's a detour and we're like, oh, should I go? And you're getting upset. But God says, just follow that detour because that's the path to your destiny. And there are people who will push others to go through that detour. We'll see that those two in the characters that I will be talking about in our text this morning. So let's quickly go into the text because we don't have much time. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version this morning. 1 Samuel 9. The story is about Saul. I know for church folks, whenever we talk about Saul, it's not always pleasant because Saul did not end well. But beginning of Saul was amazing. It was supernatural. It was God. The way his journey started, God had great plans for him. He just did not. He didn't follow through. He didn't follow through. 1 Samuel 9. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Bechorah, the son of Appiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a choice and some son, whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. So the beginning of this chapter gave us a background to Saul, his heritage, is a Benjamite. Benjamite is the, you know, Benjamin is the youngest son of Jacob. They are the least in the tribe of Israel. At a point, they were almost wiped out because they did some immorality. If you read the book of Judges, they were almost wiped out. But a few of them were rescued because other tribes pleaded to God. Will a whole tribe be wiped away? So they are not really the esteemed tribe. But God, in His wisdom, in His ways, He will pick the lowly things of this world, even to confirm the wise. So we see this in the life of Saul. And also, he's an handsome guy, very tall. So nice profile. Awesome. Yes. Yeah. If everyone's saying you're handsome and choice, hey, you know, that's interesting. But that's not where we're going, really. I just wanted to at least talk about where he's from. Definitely, his father is a wealthy man. He had donkeys and all that. So verse 3, now the donkeys of Kish, who is Saul's father, was lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, please take one of the servants with you and arise. Go and look for the donkeys. So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. They passed through the land of Shalim, and they were not there. Then he passed through the land of Benjamite, but they did not find them. When they had come to the land of Zup, Saul said to his servant who was with him, come, let us return, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about us. So they've been on a journey for so long because we're looking for the lost donkeys. And this is the servant's response. And he said to him, look now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way we should go. Notice, let us go, so that he will show us where we should go. Then Saul said to his servant, but look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread in our vessels is all gone, and there's no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have? So it's a culture in those days when you go visit a prophet, a priest, you have to bring a gift, you have to bring an offering. So this is what Saul was addressing. Thank God for the servant. And this is what I'm talking about, people who are destiny helpers, people who will help us during the bitter seasons of our life. And the servant answered Saul again and said, look, I have here at hand 1/4 of a shekel of silver. I will give that to the man of God to tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke thus, come, let us go to the seer, for he who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer. Verse 10, then Saul said to his servant, well said, come, let's go. So they went to the city where the man of God was. As they went up the hill to the city, they met some young women going out to draw water and said to them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, yes, there he is, just ahead of you. Hurry now, for today he came to the city because there's a sacrifice of the people today on the high place. As soon as you come into the city, you will surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Now therefore, go up, for about this time you will find him. Verse 14, a few more verses. So they went up to the city. As they were coming into the city, there was Samuel coming out towards them on his way up to the high place. Verse 15. This is interesting. Now, the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, "There he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people." Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, "Please tell me where's the seer's house?" Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. But as for your donkeys," Saul did not even have to talk about the donkeys. God already revealed this to Samuel. "But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all desire of Israel? Is it not on you and all your father's house?" Amen. Amen. I will stop there. Saul was on a journey to find the donkeys of his dad that was lost. He's walked many miles through many cities. I'm sure this was not the first time this happened to him. I'm sure they've done this before. They know the path that the donkeys may go through based on their behavior. But they couldn't find, because God has an agenda. It was a detour for Saul, but that led to the destiny that God already planned for him. He would have missed it if the servant was not there with him. Thank God for that servant. And that tells me something about Saul. I mean, later on when we look at his life and how he ended, that why Saul did not think about inquiring, seeking, going to a prophet, because it's a custom. If you read some of the stories of the Old Testament, you will see people saying, "No, let's go into the priest, let's go into the temple to inquire for direction, for guidance." He spent 3 days looking. He was not even aware that Saul was living in that area. I mean, Samuel, thank you. Samuel, the great prophet, you know, the one who took over after Eli. Saul was not aware. I guess, you know, he was just in his own tribe with his dad. But that may be the story. That may be our story. We may not be aware of what is around, what God is doing. But we need to have people who are aware and listen to them. Thank God for the servant. Thank God for the servant. So the servant, "Let's go seek for direction, for counsel." And I really like what, you know, between verse 6 and 10, "Let us go." Let us go. That statement was mentioned about 4 times. If we go, God has given us the word to go forward. And I believe God has been speaking to us. You know, the go forward sounds good, but God needs us to rise and do something. Let us go. What has the Holy Spirit been telling you to do? Let us go. To inquire of God. And what God has been telling you, have you responded? Let us hold on to that word. Let us go. Hallelujah. So they went, and we saw what happened. A divine encounter. A divine encounter. God had already spoken to Samuel with the details, with the profile. And exactly the man that showed up, Saul, he had no clue. Later on that day, you know, he spent the time with Samuel. Samuel gave him a dinner, gave him the best portion of the food. Like, he gave him a royal treatment. Someone that was looking for a donkey, just minding his father's business, just responding to the call of the father. And that led to his destiny. Hallelujah. God is taking us on a journey. Our life is a journey. And Bible already told us that our path is shining brighter and brighter unto the perfect day, until Jesus returns. God is taking us to greater paths. Even our trials, our troubles, is all parts of the story that God will weave together to build something beautiful. Along the way, what God is saying to us is, inquire of me. inquire of me. When you feel stuck, God has more. Many times, because God said one thing and we run and we just exit. During 21 days of prayer, just by third day, you receive the breakthrough and you exit. God needs, there's more with God. There's many sides to our God. God is looking for those who will stay with Him, who will always inquire. And I believe that's what made the difference in the life of Saul and David. Yes, we do talk of Saul with all his disobedience, but David had his own share of vices as well. He does, but he's someone who is always seeking after God. What will make a difference in us getting to our destiny, in us living the life that God has planned for us, is our desire to seek God. David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, to inquire in His temple all the days of my life," all the days of our lives, the good days, the not so good days, the joyful days, we seek Him. We inquire. The question to everyone today is, God, what are you, what I want us to ask ourselves is, God, what are you asking of me? Father God, what are you, who are you sending me to? We should live always inquiring of God. We should not just be. We should always. Jesus told us that I do what the Father tells me. I'm always listening to the Father. God wants us to go forward. That's His desire for us. But He wants people that will come to Him, inquire of Him. You may be going through some difficult seasons now. Ask God, God, what are you cultivating in me? There's a process. God is trying to bring wine out of you. Ask Him, God, what are you cultivating in me? What are you requiring of me in this season? God is requiring for more forgiveness. For more forgiveness from many people. More forgiveness. Let go. What are you saying to me? God is saying to many of us, be still. We live in an environment that makes us not to be still. We are conditioned not to be still. When you are still, you feel something is wrong with you. You feel like, oh, why am I not? Like, God wants us to be still. God wants us to retreat. Retreat is coming up. That's one of the things God has been nudging some of us. This retreat, you must not miss it. You must come and inquire of me, because I will speak to you. So that's what we see in the old story. Read it again. It's such a beautiful story. The old 1 Samuel 9. I want us to take a few lessons, and we will spend some time to pray. But a few lessons that I see as I read through the scripture that I want us to hold on to, because God wants to take us to our destiny. The detour that we may be dealing with right now, the pain, the challenges, is part of God's process. But the only way the detour would lead us home, lead us to destiny, lead us to recovery, is if we take these few points that I have. The first is to have a go mindset. G-O, go. Go mindset. You must be in an action mode. Not just busy, being busy, but action that is clear, that is based on instruction. And we all have a go commission. Matthew 28:19 tells us, we should go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We all have a go assignment. Are you going? Are you a goer? That's what God is asking us today. We can bring the Great Commission to all spaces that we find ourselves, in school, in the playground, in our board meeting, in the marketplace. There are, just like Saul was looking for the lost donkey, there are lost souls all around us. God wants us to go. some of the going takes place in here. Teaching the children, speaking life to them, because when they go out there, they are filled with so much toxic information. The goal in the place of prayer, have a goal mindset. Arise. That's what Saul told, Saul to go with his servant. The second mindset to help us forge forward to our destiny is to have a team mindset. I call it group mindset. Group mindset. When it comes to the kingdom, God does not do, you know, things solo. Things, the way God does things is in community, in communion. That's why creation was a communion. Come, let us make man in our image. God spoke to Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. When we look at the early churches, when they moved forward to start the work, they were together in fellowship. Even when they were going to send out Paul on the first missionary, they're going to select people to go. It was in a place of prayer. And we see that in Acts 13, verse 2 and 3. While they were worshiping and praying, God said to them, the Spirit said to them, set apart Paul and Barnabas. And they went forth. Who is your team? Who are you teaming with? A lot of us have teams, but are these healthy teams? Are these right groups? When Jesus sent out his disciples to preach the word, he sent them two by two. And I believe God has a principle. One will chase 1,000, two will chase 2,000. There's always a need for encouragement. Saul already gave up. Thank God for this servant. It's interesting that his name was not mentioned, but he's just an amazing, very persistent. We need some persistent friends that will say, no, we are going to church. I'm coming to pick you. We are going to fast. We're going to come together and fast. We're going to write this resume. And it's not just on spiritual things. God is telling many of us to get up. Get up and put your resume together. Get up and go to school. Get up and go and apologize. Get up and do what the Father is saying. It's not always people who are against us. If you, in the last 2 years, you've had to switch jobs 4 or 5 times, it's not about the people. There is something you are not getting right. Sit down with someone to assess. Is it how you are responding? Is it your, there might be something going on. A lot of times, we believers, we just cover everything under a spiritual issue. Sometimes it's just a behavior issue that needs to be addressed. Go sit down for an assessment. First of all, take your personality type. Let's know what your personality type. Know your, be self-aware. So you can respond to situations correctly. So you can really shine the light of God in you. Go with a team. Don't go alone. Married folks, you already have a team. Stop doing life solo. Stop doing life solo. We get into that mode. Nobody's perfect. Sometimes I just need, like, you know, a little argument. You just need your space. But don't let it be for days. And somebody is in the basement, and somebody is in the, you know, in the kitchen. We. If I take a survey now, it happens. Weeks, everybody in their separate space. You know, it's not of God. We are a team. I mean, you already, for those who are married, God already gave you that team automatically. So why don't you nourish it and make the best of it? Hallelujah. But for every one of us, we can find, first we all have the Holy Spirit, but there are people in our lives that we need to do life with. There are even some things you cannot do everything with your spouse, you know. If you like to wake up at 5 a.m. to pray and your spouse is like, no, leave me, I want to do my prayer at 10. Then find people that you can pray with at 5 a.m. or 4 a.m., you know. There's always people, but make sure it's the right company. Make sure it's the right company. Hallelujah. The third mindset we need is the give mindset. There's something in you that you can give. Because the God that made you, is a God of all resources. You carry his DNA. So there is something that he wants you to add. I always say every one of us, we've been created to add value to this world. Give. You know, Saul did not have a plan, but thankfully the servant had a quarter. He said, I have something we'll take to the man of God. We did not even have a record that they had. The man of God was already waiting for this moment. There was no need, but that was their channel. It was in their presence of, okay, let's go together, let's give, and the plan of God happened. Many people have found, you know, their destiny in serving in church. They found their partners or business partners, life partner, by being available, going on mission, doing something out of yourself. There's a gift, there's a talent, your time in prayer, and your money too. Sometimes you just have to cut down on extras so that you can sacrificially give. God is looking for the widow's mite. It's not always until there's excess. Even your widow's mite, God will accept. So we must have one, goal mindset, a group mindset, give mindset. The fourth one is a gratitude mindset. And I have the scriptures there for us. Based on the story, I did not really see this play out in the life of Saul, based on the context of the story that we have in the Bible. But just knowing about life generally, and even when you contrast the life of Saul and David, David is always a man of gratitude. He's always grateful. That's why he wrote many of the Psalms. Let's be grateful. Move to the gratitude zone. I don't know the zone where you are in right now. I don't know the county you are in, but I'm living in gratitude county. That's just my posture. And it's so peaceful. It takes stress away. Mental health people will tell us that an attitude of gratitude leads to a higher altitude. See something to be thankful for. When you come into the church, what do you see? Do you see complain or are you just grateful? When you wake up in the morning, what do you say out of your mouth? What do you say? I mean, Holy Spirit has to check me. Mondays are not always my so good days. Then Holy Spirit check me. Every day I made is beautiful. Praise me. So Psalm 34 is just burst out of my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. Or his song should come out of your mouth. Is your breath in my lungs. Let's be in gratitude zone. Towards God, for the life that we have. Psalm 92 verse 1 and 2 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. That's a good scripture to have. Wake up with that. It will set you on, gratitude is like magnesium, potassium, all those things we take, calcium all together. Like, it just puts you right. Be grateful for your loved ones. Be grateful for the job that you have. Many of us, when we talk about where we live, or, you know, New Jersey, America, where we work, is always complain. That's what the society injects, but we should not accept it. You say, God has placed me here. This place is Eden. I have abundant life. I'm blessed. And it will manifest. What you speak will manifest. Amen. A grateful mindset. The last mindset that will help us to bring our detour moments into take us to destiny is to have a growth mindset. Hallelujah. A growth mindset. Meaning always seeking to know more of God. Inquiring of Him. Abiding in Him. John 15:5 says, abide in me and I will abide in you so that you can bear more fruit. Apart from me, you are nothing. Whatever the detour. You know, when you're going through a detour, you better follow the signs. If you choose to, now with GPS on our phones, it can help us. But before then, you have to follow the signs the detour is taking you through. Otherwise, you will never get out of the maze or the circle. We have to always seek God. He's the one who designed our life. He's the architect of our life. So if there's a detour, He knows how to get us to where we need to be. Or just to reveal the new things He has for us. Growth mindset means always desiring the word of God. Crave it like a baby. His presence. It was when Saul and the servant seek to go to the presence of God by meeting with the priest that Saul encountered a life-changing moment. Even when the prophet told him this is what's about to happen, he said, "Are you sure it's me? I am from the smallest tribe. I am the least in my family." He could not believe it. God is about to blow our minds. God is about to change the trajectory of our life for something greater, for something beautiful. But are you willing to inquire? Are you willing to grow? To use that pain, make it turn it into a prayer. That pain, turn it into a message, a ministry. That abuse, turn it into a ministry to help other people. That divorce, make it a ministry to help other people. The details of our life is not the end. When we inquire of God, when we give it to God, He will lift us up. He will remove the limits. And He will bring us to a place of glory. My encouragement to all of us, do not give up. Push through. Don't go alone. Do not give up. Do not give up. Go forward. Go forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want us to rise up and pray this morning. At the beginning, I said we are in two categories. All of us are on a journey, and some people, you really feel like you are stuck right now. You feel stuck. You feel overwhelmed. You're confused. God wants to give you direction. And some of us are the destiny helpers. You just see this person is coming to you to share what's going on, and all you do is nod your head. God wants you to do something about it. There's a story in the book of Mark that is so powerful. It's another detour situation. Mark 2. The story of the paralyzed man with his four friends. The room was filled. This man needed a miracle. The room was filled. There was no way. But thank God for these four friends who were determined. They took a detour. They broke the roof. And they brought the man down, and Jesus gave attention. And the paralyzed man, Jesus forgave his sin and healed him. His miracle was so, it became something great, something so profound. Where are you in today? Where are you? Are you those friends? Are you that father? Are you that mother that needs to cry out for your child? Don't give up. The Lord will give strength. He will give strength. That's why He's telling us to grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. The growth mindset is so big. It's so big not to give up. So I want us to pray this morning. The first prayer is that God will open our eyes. He will open our eyes to see those that He has placed around us as destiny helpers. That we will not despise them. We will not dismiss them. If Saul had dismissed the servant, he would have missed this divine appointment to his destiny. Pray that God will open your eyes. Lord, open our eyes. We are on a journey and you have sent people to us. Right now, God is showing you some faces. They are young, they are old, they are different. They are not people that you have in your mind. Lord, open my eyes this morning. I am tired, I am weary. I don't want to give up. Show me that person you are sending to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord will open our eyes. He will give us the revelation to know what He's doing, what He's saying. In the name of Jesus. The next category of people that I want us to pray for people who feel they are in a detour, confused, afraid. And I know we are all in different seasons. I want us to cry out to God. Say, God, hear my cry. Attend unto my prayer. Lord, I need your strength. Lord, I need your grace. Lord, I need your grace. Cry out to Him. I'm in a fire moment now, but I know you are with me. Help me to feel you. Help me to see you. Cry out to God. What is that detail? What does it look like? Is it sickness? You expect everything to be gone by now, but you're still getting the negative report. Cry out to God. Is it a relationship situation that is causing you to cry? Let it go. God has restored and He has greater things for you. God wants to speak to people who have been through rough season in relationship. God says, I'm making all things new. I'm changing your status. I am changing your status. I'm making you new. If you only stay with me and inquire of me, stop looking the other way. Stop looking at the other person. For anyone here who has been through any heartbreak, broken relationship, God in this season wants you to look to Him, because He's bringing a beauty out of the pain, out of the challenge. He's bringing something great for His glory. Father, I thank you. Show us your ways. Show us your ways. As I round up this morning, I want us to sing that song. It's an old song. Show me your ways that I can walk with you. The cry of my heart is to love you more. To live with the church of your love stronger each day. God is giving us strength. This year, 2024, we will stand stronger. We will reach our goal. We will reach our goal in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Show us your ways. Show me your ways, that I may walk with you. Show me your ways. I put my hope in you. Cry of my heart is to love you more, to live with the touch of your hands stronger each day. Show me your ways. Father, we thank you because you are a good Father. Father, as we inquire of you.